to the We Are Adults show, brought to you by Hoppy Head Productions. I am your host, Sean, across the way, Danny. It's like deja vu, 2 weeks
ago. Dude, I think the only thing that, like, hates our show more than your mom is Skype.
That is fair. I mean, I don't know why. It's just, like, it's always, like, at the five, like, as soon as, like, 2 minutes into recording, it's just like, nope.
So now my wife. Yeah, I was gonna say now my wife. And I know what it feels like for my wife. It's like, all right, 2 minutes, you're done. It's not whether you want to be done or not, you're done.
So how is that IPA beer you're drinking? Spoilers.
Yes. Spoilers. I was in the middle of describing my pre-show beer that was supposed to be my show beer, but Sean apparently forgot how to tell time. Or he might have been one of those people that thought the time change was this was today and not a different day.
It's like one of those things where you think you have enough time to do things and you start doing things and then, you know,
you don't.
For some reason, your pocket starts vibrating, and then you look at the time, and you already know what the text message is saying.
You know, when you have like an hour, and you're like, well, I have like 30 things to do, but they should only take 5 minutes each, and then you don't realize that there's only 25 minute increments in an hour. Like that.
Something like that.
So my. What became my pre-show beer is a collaboration called Viscerand. It's a hazy double IPA with Mason Aleworks and Horace, which I haven't had any of his like non-collaboration beers because I haven't been able to get tickets because they usually go on sale at like 9 a.m. on a Friday. And even I have to work sometimes at my job.
Yeah, you do.
But like, basically, the guy brews out of a storage unit somewhere down in the, like, northern San Diego area, southern Corona-ish area, I guess, Temecula, Escondido, Vista, somewhere around there.
Gotcha.
But then he sells his beers online, and then you can go pick it up. And then what you do then is you post on beer trade groups that you got his beer. And then you trade his beer, and then you go to a bottle share, and hopefully somebody will bring a bottle, and you can get 1 ounce of it so that you can get your tick on Untappd.
I tried two droplets of this fancy beer from. It's just crazy, man. Those bottle shares,
so right? Especially like Midwest bottle shares. Like I said, like there'll be like 30 people putting in like on a bottle that sells like for $500, and it's like 22 ounces, and they'll all get like they'll ration it out perfectly so that all 30 people get their fair share of the 22 ounces.
I feel like with even after one sip, like, you can't really get all the profiles. Like, you really need, like a good 4 ounces to really get, like... Because I feel like you get initial shock of the taste of whatever you're drinking, and then you take... Then the next one kind of... You already know generally what where the taste is, and you can start zoning in on the different flavors.
Right, and like, you know, with my wife, she does not like beer, but even there's beers where she'll take a sip of it, and she's like, kind of recoil, like you said, has like a expression, and then she's like, it sits on her tongue for a second, she's like, wait, that was actually good, let me try it again. And then that second time, she's acclimated to it, and she's like, wait, this is pretty good, actually.
Definitely.
And especially...
I think especially with IPAs, because there is like a lot of flavor profiles behind after you let it settle down, but I think you get a lot of like punch for the hops first, so you have to like get used to the IBUs, and then you get the flavor.
Right, and Horace, what he specializes in is heavy stouts, which is another beer that like you almost don't even want to like drink it cold. You almost want to let it sit for a minute to air out like a wine. So, you know, you get the flavor profiles and, like, a different... Because your tongue wants to...
I thought...
You're waiting for it to hang up on us?
Yeah. I thought it was like, oh, I didn't hear anything. So I was like, oh, game over, man.
No, like, last time it, like, immediately, like, disconnected. But, but Horace, they do a lot of, like, adjunct-laden stouts with coffee and stuff. And so you almost kind of want to let those, like, settle for a little bit and come to temperature so that your tongue isn't numbed by the coldness.
Yeah.
No. So that was my pre-show beer. My show beer is called A Friend with Wheat. It's a collaboration with McKellar Brewing in San Diego and Horace Ales.
Fair enough.
Which is a wheat wine style ale brewed with cacao nibs and peanut butter coffee.
That does sound pretty good.
Which I'm like, wait, is it peanut butter and coffee, or is there like a coffee that has peanut butter flavor? Because I'm confused, because there's not really a lot of commas in here, and there's like the cacao nibs is on its own, and then it says and peanut butter coffee. But it's comes in at 13.7% alcohol by volume.
Wow, and that's quite a bit.
Yes, it's pretty good, man. Like I said, I've kind of poured a little bit before the show, and you can smell like the wheat wineness of it when you smell it, but when you taste it, you definitely get that almost like the peanut butter is more dominant out of the flavors.
Gotcha.
But not really in a bad way.
Yeah.
And the reason I decided to partner up my pre-show beer with the Horace and my show beer with the Horace beer is because, you know, sometimes, you know, they say it's sometimes it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yes.
they don't mention
that at work most of the time.
They don't mention that that the only thing that's easier than asking for forgiveness is hiding your secrets completely. So there's a bottle shop in Southern Corona called El Cerrito Market, and recently they posted that they had done they had gone to Maker's Mark.
Be quick.
And basically picked out a barrel for themselves. And they bottled it and sold that. They had that up for sale. But then they, on Friday, they posted that on Saturday, they would have a Four Roses Horace Ales collaboration bourbon. Really?
That's pretty good.
Yes. And so I went down there and I picked up, I was going to just go down there and pick up the Horace Ales one, but they had their Maker's Mark one sitting on the counter. And luckily, I guess that I was on my way home from work, working overtime on Saturday, because I ended up on those two bottles after tax and everything. I ended up dropping like $180.
Wow. Big spend up, big spend up.
So, you know, as they say, what my wife doesn't know won't hurt me.
Well, she doesn't listen to the show, so you're safe.
Right. Well, like I've said before, you know, between my parents and my wife, they don't love me as much as your parents love you.
Yeah, there's no secrets. The thing, the biggest thing that I was just thinking of, because I was starting to get into, like, hey, I want to start drinking some Manhattans and Old Fashions again, is, you know what, the sweetener that I really like to use for my drinks is maple syrup.
Yes. And then I guess people are starting to use the agave syrup or honey sugars.
Yeah, I've used agave, but I think maple syrup just gives it, like, it gives it the balance it needs, but I just, it gives it, like, a little bit more, like, a flavor profile in there, because you know it's maple syrup, but it's not sweet. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, let me ask you this, though. Are you putting down the money for the real maple syrup, or are you buying the Aunt Jemima stuff?
I would have to ask the bartender.
Okay.
Because, I'm paying like $12 for this Old Fashioned, so it better be the real shit.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, there's a huge noticeable difference between, like, real maple syrup and the fake, like, syrup one.
I can't even go back to it. Like, I started using the real maple syrup. I just can't even do it. Like,
right. And this last time I was in, the first time I went to New York for the races with friend of the show, Man Thing, we ended up going to a distillery and they had an in-house made barrel aged maple syrup.
Nice.
And so I bought a thing and we used it and we didn't get a chance to go back to the distillery to buy more. Because I wouldn't even have bought any other booze. I would have just bought like four bottles of their maple syrup
and take it back.
and just and like set it up like a IV in my arm, waiting for the diabetes to kick in.
Not a bad idea.
No, but yeah, like, because the sweetness that comes from real maple syrup is far less than the fake stuff.
Yeah.
It's less jarring, less, like, cloying, I guess is the word.
Yeah. And the thing, too, about this this gastropub, if that's what it is that I go to, they use, like, the giant ice cubes, so you just get one big ice cube in your glass for with your drink. So it's like you don't even have to worry about, like, the it getting watered down or anything.
Nice. Yeah, I need to invest. I don't know why. Like, there's some things where I have no issue spending money on, but then there's some things that, like, I'm like, eh, maybe I can get it cheaper somewhere. But that was one of the ones where it was like buying like the stuff to get the do the ice for bourbons or whiskeys.
Yeah, no, I think it's something definitely to get, because I was like, because I think it's. Because they use, like, maple syrup and, like, orange, so it's not even, like, it's, like, anything hard to do. You just do some orange bitters with the sweet vermouth and your bourbon, and boom, you got, like, a nice Manhattan with the maple syrup. So I feel like I'm just, like, wasting away. Like, I should just have this done.
Yes. Oh, man. So what are you drinking today, Sheen?
Well, I'm almost done with my, and I guess... Danny, you could shame me because I'm part of the problem, I guess. I'm not even, like, part of the solution. Because I started drinking the new Starbucks, winter coffee, the Christmas blend.
Okay.
So I'm doing that, and I'm also drinking the Shiner Holiday Cheer. So I'm already drinking two Christmas items, and it's not even November.
Dude. Just because you can't wait to, you know, sit on Santa's lap and tell him what you want for Christmas, that you're a good little boy.
Santa, what I need for my brewery set is I need a filter and I need a bottle filler.
He's like, why are you sitting still then? You know what you got to do.
Exactly. But the Shiner Holiday Cheer, this brewery is down in Shiner, Texas, and it is a Dunkelweizen brewed with Texas peaches and roasted pecans.
Pecans. You know what? That's not one of those things you hear very often.
What?
Texas peaches.
I know.
You hear Georgia peaches.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the thing, like, everyone knows about, like, Wisconsin cheese, even though California is, like, the largest dairy-producing state in the country?
I don't know. That's a good question. No, I've never heard, outside of this bottle, I've never heard, like, Texas being, like, infamous for peaches.
Right. Like, the only thing I've heard is, like, that Texas is infamous for is hating people from California, drive-through liquor stores, and, like, once you drive into the state, you're never going to leave it. It takes, like, 4 weeks to cross it.
It does take a long time to get through Texas. You're in Texas for a long time.
Like, right. I mean, that's why they have the drive-through liquor stores, because they know that it's going to take you forever to drive through it.
Exactly. But this beer is a 5.4% ABV. It's really easy to drink, and it does. I don't know if I get the pecan taste, but I definitely get, like, you get a really nice peach taste, though.
Right, when Bottle Logic did their peach cobbler beer, like, the peach was on the forefront, like, that's a kind of a strong flavor, but I guess the cobbler was more just, like, in the texture,
mm-hmm.
and, like, the after flavor, like, it tasted a little maltier, or a little, you know what I'm saying, breadier?
Yeah. I don't know, I think it's, like, super easy to drink, and it's, you know, it's, even though it's supposed to be, like, kind of like a dark wheat ale, it's just very easy to drink, and the peach taste is just really nice. Like, it's not, like, a harsh, or it just, you drink it and you just get, like, a nice peach taste to it, and it's just very enjoyable.
That's good. I mean,
it says to give one to someone you love, but I just kind of want to drink them all, so, like, I feel like it's a
No. For you, that's appropriate. You do really love yourself.
Exactly.
Oh man, speaking of not loving people, Sean. We have a worse. Okay. Almost, well, I can't say worse than China because I don't think much is. But in the beer world, I guess this is like just some bad, sad, revengeful news, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I did a review of the book Bourbon Aged Stout and the Art of Selling Out.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about it on this podcast and a different one, and both times I credited the wrong person as being the author.
You're a bad person.
I mean, but I realized it when I posted about that episode. I posted it on the Instagrams, but the author's name is Josh Knoll.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every year when Goose Island does their Bourbon County, like, they have a media day.
Mm-hmm.
And originally it was like, and you know, reading what he said, when it first started, there was nothing. Like when they first kind of started doing Bourbon County, there was no media day, but he was like a writer for the Chicago Tribune. And so he hit him up. He's like, hey, are you guys doing samples for the media so we can review it?
Mm-hmm.
And basically they invited him down and he was the only one there, and they did tastings of all the variants and stuff. And he wrote about it in the newspaper.
Yeah.
And then from there it expanded to where like just anybody pretty much. Any jackass that has quote unquote media claims like us, like we could have done it because he said there were podcasters there.
Okay, man, we missed out.
Like vloggers, podcasters, and stuff. And so this year he's like, he realized, like he looked at the calendar, he's like, wait a minute, they should be doing their media day soon because it's getting pretty close to Black Friday. And so he hits them up. He's like, hey, I think my invitation got lost in the mail. And they're like, no. We didn't send you one this year.
Really?
Yes.
Why? It's jacked up.
Because they're a sad girl about the book, apparently. But even though they claim it's not about the book, they're like, well, we're just trying to get more people who haven't had a chance to sit at the table for Media Day a chance to sit at the table.
Got you.
And you know, and I told my wife, I understand, like, as a podcaster,
they should just
take
a page out of Anime Expo and just sell way too many tickets.
Right, and if you should first come, first serve, right?
Yes.
If, you know, sell, like, there's 20 seats and they sell 40 of them, and if you're, like, the 21st person to show up, then the line's cut off and you got to go home.
Pretty much.
But, you know, I tell my wife, I'm like, you know, as you know, I would expect them to, like, maybe not invite all the podcasters or the bloggers, because there's people that, you know, record a podcast just to get, like, media shit, like, free beer samples and stuff, and then they only do, like, 4 episodes.
Oh, per year?
Or total, and then they're done. But they kind of ride those 4 episodes into getting, like, trying to get samples so they can quote-unquote review them.
Jeez.
That's terrible. He writes for the Chicago Tribune. Like, you know, even if you're a sad girl about his book, and, you know, he doesn't necessarily attack the brewery. He kind of more attacks AB InBev and their practices of the way they're buying up the breweries and their marketing and the way they felt about craft beer before they started buying them and the way they feel about it after, mm-hmm. right? But apparently they went full sad girl mode and they didn't invite him. And so, but he didn't rip into them necessarily. He was just like, you know what, man, I'm not so much mad as I am disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Which
terrible.
Right? And then Founders. That's why I mentioned Founders, is because Founders is in the news again.
Oh, man. They're always in the news.
So their lawsuit is going on.
Jeez.
And the manager of the tasting room was being cross-examined. And, you know, I'm going to kind of just go through some of the highlights. So the attorney asked, like, when did you first meet him? And he's like, oh, we met like in 2011 or 2012. We had mutual friends. He's like, so you knew him prior to his employment? Yes, we met a few times. And it's like, okay, are you aware Tracy is black? And it's like, what do you mean by that? And he's like, are you aware that he is African-American? He's like, I'm not sure of his lineage, so I can't answer that. It's like, all right, so are you aware that Tracy is a man of color? What do you mean by that? No? Do you know what it means for someone to be a white person or a black person? I'm asking for clarification. He's like, you don't need any. I promise you that. We'll keep the record as is. Someone's skin color, a white. Oh, so that's what you're referring to. Yes. Oh, okay. So, yeah, I know the difference in skin tone. And it's like, are you able to identify individuals by their skin tone? What do you mean identify? And he's like, have you ever looked at Tracy Evans in your entire life? Have you? That's a genuine question. And he's like, the founder's attorney objected on the founds of argumentative, and he ended up answering. He's like, yes, I've looked at him. And it's like, did you realize that his skin is black? And it's like, his skin is a different from mine, yes. How? What do you mean how? It's a different color. And what is the difference in that color? And it's darker. And he's like, and that means, and then the attorney objected on vague question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I mean, I guess we could. This is a one-sentence answer, you know. So I guess by your testimonies, you have no idea if Tracy is a minority, if he's African-American. And it's like, I don't know his lineage, so I can't speculate on whether if he's from Africa or not. And it's like, what do you mean, lineage from Africa? And it's like, no, I mean, like, I don't know his DNA. And it's like, have you ever met a black person who aren't from Africa? And he's like, excuse me? And it's like, have you ever met a black person born in America? Yes. And were you able? Have you ever met a black person who didn't tell you they were black? Can you rephrase that? And he's like, is Barack Obama black? Objection. To your knowledge, I've never met a Barack Obama, so I don't.
The lawyering is so strong.
Right. And so then after that, they kind of released a statement regarding the article.
Yes.
And it's like, please see below for a full statement regarding this. And it's like, thank you for reaching out to Founders before publishing your column. Founders will soon be publishing its full response to Mr. Evans' claims when it comes to file a motion to dismiss the case entirely. This motion will include documentary proof that neither Mr. Evans' race nor retaliation played any parts in our decision to end his employment. Basically, like, and then it goes to, Mr. Ryan was not having a casual conversation. He was under oath when he made these statements. All deponents are instructed. Mr. Ryan was directed not to guess, assume, or speculate in his deposition. That is the reason for his answers. So basically, like, Founders told him to be vague.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he, like, don't speculate. And it's like, or guess. Like, if you don't know for sure, say you don't know. And so that's why he was like, I don't know. Which led to, like, somebody making the meme of Founders sales department, and it's a picture of the band from Titanic playing as the ship is sinking.
You know what the thing is too, it's, I don't know anybody really else that knows about this, but you know, now it's like every time, like, I go through and I look at, you know, the beer section, you know, here's a really nice Founders beer. It's just like, I can't even touch it anymore. Like, what? I don't even know what's going on up there.
Right. Well, it gets even better. So apparently they hired this woman, Gracie Harkema, to be, like, basically, like, to help them, like, not be as racist or as much assholes, like a diversity, almost like a publicist, diversity publicist.
Mm-hmm.
And so she posted on social media, believe in something, even it means sacrificing everything. And it says, I greatly appreciate friends and family for being supportive and standing by my side. I've dedicated myself and myself to a life and career of equity, ethics, integrity, and morals. I have resigned from Founders. And she said, basically, like, on the next, like, page or whatever, more to come. And so she released a longer paragraph of why she quit. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically, she went in there saying that, you know, they hired her as a publicist, and she gave things that any publicist would say, ideas to help turn around the company's image. Yes. And they dismissed her at every turn and fought her. And basically she realized that they weren't about repairing their image. They were only about winning the lawsuit against Mr. Evans. And so, you know, the Canadian Breakfast Out is coming out. And they're having a big release party for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a tap room in Detroit. And the employees basically stated that they were going to have a walkout on the day that the beer was released. Which led Founders to cancel the event and close the Detroit tap room in response.
I'll show you.
You're going to walk out for one day. You can walk out forever.
That doesn't sound like retaliation at all.
No. So, like, I don't know. Like, Founders, I mean, that's one of the biggest craft beer companies. They're not quite on the level of Sam Adams, but pretty close, because I know you can get a decent amount of their beers in most every grocery store. Like, you don't have to go to a specialty bottle shop.
Yeah. Well, so, there's assholes in every slice of life.
Right. But, you know, I mean, they still have, like, specialty beers, like the Kentucky Breakfast Stout and the Canadian Breakfast Stout and the stuff that you have to go to the specialty bottle shops for.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they're going to be around much longer as a company. Like, I don't know how many people or if enough people care about this or not in the beer scene. Not necessarily the craft beer scene, but just in the general beer scene. Like, if their grocery store sales are going to help them to survive.
Yeah.
Because they had a really nice location in Grand Rapids.
Oh, no, they really did. And the problem is Grand Rapids is definitely, I think, more of, you know, a liberal area. So this isn't probably going to be taken lightly by the people in the area.
Right. So, I mean, they might be able to make it by on tourists, but I don't know if enough people visit Grand Rapids. I don't think that's a mecca of tourism that maybe San Diego is.
I don't know. It's not a very easy place to get to.
Right. Like, we had to plan, like, a couple days out of a week to go there. Like, it wasn't like we're just like, let's drive there and come back.
No. Yeah, exactly. And that's, like, a way. And, I mean, it's quite a way from Detroit and Chicago. Like, even to try to, I mean, it would probably be really expensive to try to fly in over there. But, I mean, even trying to drive from Chicago and Detroit, you're looking at 2 or 3 hours, depending on which one you're coming into.
Right, which made sense as to why they would have a tap room in Detroit. Because, you know, why make the people drive that long to the beer when you can bring it to them?
Exactly.
But apparently, you know, the people that work there just don't want to deal with working for assholes. And so instead of, like, just letting them close the brewery down for a day to let them have their say, they, that's cool. Until further notice. It's closing the Detroit tap room until further notice.
Mm.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they survive. Like, I don't know if they have to sell. If they have to fire people. Like, I don't know if there's any saving of grace for them.
I don't know, you know? Either. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it'll just be interesting to see how it goes. Because you got to think, because they've been bought, they've even sold more stock, so it's hard to say, to think that they're going to go under with all the money that is being backed by them.
Right. But if people start if enough people protest, you know, and I don't know, man. It's a sad situation.
Well, the other part, too, is now that they've sold out, like, that company could come in and clean house from a management standpoint.
And that's the thing, like, at this point, like, how high up do they have to get rid of people if this publicist is coming out saying that they don't care about fixing the issue, they just want to win and not have to pay any money?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I mentioned McKellar, right? Was yes. The beer I'm drinking. So I went to see Tool at the Staples Center. And the reason that's a segue is my new routine anytime I go to the Staples Center is I found a pretty awesome parking lot. Well, two that are right by each other where I can walk past the McKellar LA location and go get some food. Which, you know, I think I said in the last episode talking about it, but I'm going to say it again. They have probably one of the top, like, three best hamburgers I've ever eaten. And it's just a basic hamburger, nothing like super fancy.
That's not a bad thing to be able to say.
and if you go, like, and like the burgers are like $15 and the beers are about $8.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go during happy hour during the week, you get the burger and a beer for $15.
Wow. That's not bad at all. That's a deal.
No. And then all their McKellar beers are $2 off.
Nice. So,
but then we went to go see Tool, and our seats were, like, apparently in the limited view section, and I was giving my buddy a hard time because he's the one that bought them. But we were, like, basically kind of almost to the side of the stage back a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't get to see, like, their fancy light show that they have going on the screen behind the stage.
Oh, got you.
But I think in the end we had a better view because Maynard likes to hang out in the back when he performs.
Mm-hmm.
And not go. He doesn't, like a normal lead singer where he's at the front and center of the stage. He's like hangs out by the drummer. And so they had a high rise with stairs in between, and he was going back and forth between those, but he was like right in front of us.
Oh, nice.
And then we could see the side of Danny Carey, so we could watch him playing drums for the whole show.
Yeah.
Like his hands and his footwork. And we were kind of by the bases, so we can watch him. Like, it was like, I was giving my buddy a hard time, but he was like, come on, these aren't that bad. I'm like, yeah, you're right, man. I just got to give you shit because, you know, it's fun.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was kind of weird because it was a good show, and they came out with a new album, but they only played two songs off the new album. Actually, three. Like, one was a instrumental song, mm-hmm. but they played three songs off the album for pretty much a almost 3-hour show.
Does Tool even have anybody open up for them, or is it just
They did. They had somebody open up that went on it like from 7:30 to like, and then they went on, like pretty close to like 9, like 8:50.
Mm-hmm.
And then like because the band played from like 7:30 to like 8:15 or whatever, and then they did this crossover, and Tool went on at like 8:50, and they played till like almost midnight.
Jeez.
And they had like an intermission, like a 10-minute intermission. And we thought everyone was leaving, but then like we saw there was a timer and they had a countdown. It was for 10 minutes. So it gave everybody a chance to go get another beer, take a piss or whatever.
Yeah.
But man, like for them like being
10 minutes isn't that long either when you're stuck with that many people.
Right. No, like we didn't go anywhere, but you know, for them being like old, like Danny Carey's like 63 or something crazy like that. Like, dude, the amount of energy that they play with. And it was pretty funny because Danny Carey was basically wearing a Lakers uniform. Kobe, he had like a Kobe jersey on and like the Lakers, the basketball shorts.
Nice.
But man, the only thing that was bummed out is my buddy wasn't in that much of a hurry to get to the show. And I was kind of hoping to get the poster, you know?
Oh, they have tour poster.
Yeah. Well, like not even a tour, but like for each show, they have different posters. So there was like a different poster for Sunday's show and a different poster for Monday's show.
Nice.
And then they have like so many of those, but then even smaller number of those are signed by the band.
Oh man. So I guess you didn't get it, huh?
No. And then I looked on Reddit because I just wanted to see what it looked like. And people were posting like they got both of them. Everybody got both of them signed by the band. And cool. They're not like crazy. Like when I bought the ones that were signed by Les Claypool and Sean Lennon for the Lennon Claypool Delirium, they're like $100.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can go on eBay, or you can go on eBay and buy them for like $300, $200 or whatever.
Okay, that's not too bad.
I guess if you want to spend like double. Oh man, but I finally, after you know, basically gathering comic books, Sean, I decided to read a miniseries.
A miniseries? There's lots of miniseries out there. Which one are you talking about?
I was like the last Marvel book I was buying.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the Marvel Knights series,
mm-hmm.
which people that don't know, that's almost like alternate tales. Like they don't really fit into canon. They're just kind of cool stories. They're a little bit more adult, but not quite like Vertigo or whatever.
It's not like a Batman All-Star where he sleeps with a Black Canary.
Right. Or it's not quite like The Boys. But this one, it starts off with Frank Castle finding Matt Murdock, who's like in a graveyard with no memory, and he's at a graveyard of Karen Page, which is like his ex lover mm-hmm. that died. But he doesn't know anything, and so you're kind of figuring things out. And then like the way the first issue ends, like Bullseye was kind of watching the whole thing, and he calls into somebody,
mm-hmm.
and it's the Kingpin.
Yeah.
And the Kingpin's like, I'll let them know. Like, he's not even the one in charge. And then the last page is the main boss is Dr. Doom. You find out the main villain is Dr. Doom, but he's flanked by Taskmaster and Crossbones on each side.
Nice.
And so basically, Frank Castle is driving around with Bruce Banner in the back, and he has a list of names. But nobody remembers being a hero, and Frank Castle's trying to get them to, like, remember.
Gotcha.
And come to find out, like, so, like, they go to try to get Matt Murdock, and then they get Elektra, the second one, and then the Black Panther is one of them. But it's pretty good. I mean, that's why I bought it, because I know it was a limited series. But there's a scene where they need Bruce Banner to turn into the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
So Frank Castle just shoots him. Because they have to go turn off a machine, and the machine is being guarded by a dragon, a golden dragon, they call it. They keep saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get into the room, and it's the Sentry.
Oh, wow.
And Sentry's like, you know, I don't need to eat, sleep, you'll never get to this machine. And Frank Castle's like, we don't need to defeat you, we just need you out of the way. And that's when he shoots the Hulk, and the Hulk, like, basically tackles the Sentry out of the building. And, like, even when he shoots the Hulk, the Sentry's like, oh, shit.
Joke's on you, bitch.
But there was one thing about this book that is very rare with, like, comics, especially Marvel or DC, is where, like, after reading the first issue, I'm, like, wanting to read the rest. You know?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you read the book and you're just like, all right, I'll finish it. I'll work on it. I'll come back and read the next one tomorrow. And my plan was just to read one a night for a week. And then I was like, no, I'm going to read another one tonight. And then I'm like, dude, I got to go to bed. And so I ended up finishing the rest of them as soon as I got home from work the next day. But, man, it's like, I wish all Marvel writing was like that, where they just kind of were willing to take risks.
I know. It would be nice, but everybody's got a corporate agenda.
Right. And when they do take risks, well, here's the worst part, is when they do take risks, people on both sides of the spectrum complain. You got the, you know, social justice warriors complaining that, you know, they're being offensive in some way, or you have the, I guess, the people that watch the quartering videos that complain that they're forcing diversity down our throats and making things too PC.
Yeah.
And it's like, or they're making things political, and it's like, but comics have always been political.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah, but did you, speaking of comics, Sean, I forgot to ask you before we started recording, so I know I'm gonna assume the answer is no. Did you watch the thing that I sent you?
I did. It was pretty interesting. I never heard of the comic, though.
It's Bloodshot by Valiant, which is one of those, like, mini imprints that almost try to make a thing, like Image. Like, at one point, Valiant was, like, the Image of comics.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kind of fell to the wayside when Image came up, and then they kind of died away, and then they tried to do a re-imaging and reboot of all their books. So, but they're releasing a movie. Bloodshot, I guess, is their main, like, the poster child comic that they have, like, and they're releasing a movie with Vin Diesel as the title character.
Yeah, I mean, not knowing anything about the comic, I mean, it's an interesting premise, to say the least.
Right, like, he dies, he's almost like a Punisher, where, like, he dies, except the Punisher doesn't die, I guess, but, you know, he's out for revenge, and in the comic, he's get injected with nanites that can help repair him immediately, so if he gets shot, like, he doesn't have Captain America's healing ability or Wolverine's, but he has a way to heal. Which also, but he's being controlled by an organization that may or may not be what they seem.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and having not read the comic and only seen the trailer, that the spoiler alert, that's pretty obvious, is they're probably not what they seem.
I think it spoiled it in the trailer.
Right. Well, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, are they or aren't they, in certain movies where the answer is always they aren't.
I almost wonder if he doesn't even have a wife.
Right. Like, he never had a family.
Yeah.
And they just fed that story into him to
feel
his rage or whatever. And then, well, to fuel the reason for him to go out and kill people. Because the premise is that they're basically like how Bucky was when he was the, what was his name before he, oh, the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
They would wake him up, have him go assassinate somebody, have him go back to his base, and then put him on deep freeze again.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they reset his memories to where whoever they need killed is the face that they Photoshop on the body of the person that killed his family. So, I don't know. I mean, it looks interesting, but I don't know if I'm excited about how. I mean, not Batista, Vin Diesel in the lead role, which I guess they're almost interchangeable anymore.
I mean, it is what it is. We'll see how it goes.
I mean, I want to see the movie. I'll watch it. I don't know if I'll watch it in the theaters.
You'll watch it on DVD from your Redbox?
From Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix.
Whatever. You know, I'm not young and hip enough to go to Redbox, even though I don't think people do that anymore.
True.
Speaking of DVDs from Netflix, Sean, I ended up getting a couple of them that I watched yesterday with the wife.
The Wife? Is that the official title?
Yes, The Wife. So I ended up getting her, I ended up convincing her to watch a zombie movie called Anna and the Apocalypse. It's like A Nightmare Before Christmas, but with zombies. Because it's like a Christmas, it takes place during Christmas, and they make references to like Christmas stuff.
Is it animated?
No, it's live action, and it's British, and it's a musical.
Oh boy.
And my wife was kind of upset because she was like, I thought I was going to be scared. I didn't know you were going to, this movie was going to make me cry. Because, I mean, it's a zombie movie. Like, she doesn't watch zombie movies. And the one thing that's common about zombie movies is don't get too attached to any of the characters because they're probably going to die.
Yeah.
And this one, you know, lives up to that reputation. You know, I'm listening to somebody else do a review of it. And they talked about how the songs kind of got in the way. But I feel that way. Isn't that can be said about every musical? Pretty much.
I think so. I think like it's just like a serious scene, and then it just randomly like people start singing, and you're just like, I don't know how I could take this seriously.
Right, and that's the thing about it. It's British, so I don't think you're supposed to take it seriously.
Fair enough.
But it's really good. Like the action scenes are like really good. It's one of the better zombie movies I've watched, let alone, you know, musicals. It doesn't take itself seriously enough to where you almost like want to make fun of it, but it's the brutalness of some of the zombie deaths and just the way the zombies act. Like there's a scene where they're stuck in a store and they're trying to get from there to the school where some of their family is. And this guy is like, I have an idea. And they end up like walking like turtles with a giant inflatable pool over their head, so if they kind of go get attacked by zombies, they can turtle shell under it. Except when they do turtle shell, they're like, I guess, outside of a senior center, and one of the old ladies, one of the zombie old ladies sits on one of the people's heads, basically, and they're like, can zombies? And then she's like, oh, it's warm. And then they realize the zombie's like pissing on her. but the thing too is they know that they're zombies.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, because like the one, there's like, you know, of course, like the main character, and then she has like, there's this jerky guy that's her ex-boyfriend, and the nice guy that is her friend but wants to be her boyfriend. They're like walking to school together, and that's when they kind of first encounter the zombies. And they end up like knocking one of their heads off. And the guy's like, these are zombies. And she's like, no, they're not. There's something else. And he's like, is that normal? And they point over and the zombie's head is still like moving. Just like trying to bite them. So I highly recommend it if you get a chance to watch it. Anna and the Apocalypse.
Do the zombies sing? Do they have a song?
No, unfortunately they do not.
I feel like this was a wasted opportunity.
It was, but outside of that, at that point, you're almost just nitpicking because the movie is really good and super British.
Fair enough.
But, you know, I mentioned Batista earlier. I watched a movie. I don't know if it's his starring debut, but he's definitely the lead of the movie, called Stuber. Basically, he's like this like tough, techno-gruff, like action cop. You know, stereotypical like man that doesn't show emotions, doesn't care about his family, only cares about the case. And he's blind, but he's kind of blind. So he ends up getting LASIK and he can't drive. So he ends up having to call an Uber. And he kind of hijacks the Uber driver trying to catch this guy that killed his partner years ago, like 6 months previous. There's better buddy cop movies. like this. I think the movie Taxi Driver with Queen Latifah and Jimmy Fallon was probably a better movie than this.
Yeah. Is there like, I was going to say, because I remember seeing it in the trailer. I was like, wow, this is really cringy bad. But I did laugh at a few parts. Was there at least a few good jokes in there?
Oh, there was some good stuff. And then like, you know, you had his like toxic masculinity, for a lack of a better term, from Batista. And then you had the driver kind of being like super PC and correcting him on things to say. But then there's a part where Batista is like torturing a dude to get information. Yeah. And the Uber driver comes in. He's like, no, you got to be smart about this. Use your brain. And then he gets the guy's phone and uses face recognition to unlock it.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you have a Twitter. And he's like tweeting like gay stuff on there. Like, wait, I thought you were woke, bro. Like, why are you like using gay stuff as like a way to torture somebody if you're so woke?
Wow.
Because it was like, I love Ryan Gosling, Send. And then it was like my top three Ryan Gosling movies are number three, The Notebook. Number two, The Notebook. And the guy's like, stop, I hate Ryan Gosling. And it's like, come on, bro. Like, those Ryan Gosling jokes are way older than this movie. Like, let's get over it, bro. But, I mean, there's some good action scenes, but like I said, there's way better movies.
Yeah. No, I guess
it's just awkward and cringy and not, like, super funny. Like, it was only, like, it was shorter than the Anne in the Apocalypse movie. It was only, like right at an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And both me and my wife were like, I thought that movie felt like it was, like, 3 hours long. Oh, man. So, like I said, watch Anne and the Apocalypse. Do not watch Stuber. Mm-hmm. Oh, and we kind of got the debate about, it's like, well, she's like, no, Anne and the Apocalypse is not a Christmas movie just because it takes place during Christmas. And I'm like, wait, but people, the internet has decided that Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think for this Christmas, the movie I'm going to push to be nominated as a Christmas movie that isn't, because it takes place during Christmas like Die Hard, is Eyes Wide Shut.
Why is that?
Because it takes place during Christmas.
That's fair.
Like, one of the orgy parties takes place under a Christmas tree. I mean, if Die Hard is a Christmas movie and they show the Harry Potter movies during, like, the Hallmark 25 Days of Christmas, mm-hmm. because each movie has a Christmas scene, then Eyes Wide Shut is a Christmas movie.
Fair enough. Can't beat that logic.
Right. That's going to be my cause this year. Apparently, I need to get on it soon before the Christmas season is over, because it's already started, according to Sean.
Maybe.
So,
just maybe.
You know, just when what is the company that everyone's mad at for the China and the Hong Kong stuff, Sean? That does Hearthstone and Blizzard. Just when Blizzard thought they were alone in the ire of the internet.
Yes.
Bethesda comes out and says, hold my beer. So they announced a because people wanted, I'm not going to say everybody, but the handful of people that still play Fallout 76 wanted private servers.
Okay.
And Bethesda's like, cool beans. We'll give you private servers and more. And they're like, awesome. And they're like, as part of our Fallout 76 subscription service, at a measly $13 a month.
How much is World of Warcraft per month?
I don't know. I know how much Final Fantasy 14 is.
How much is that?
I pay $14 or $15 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but if you're like, if you played if you played 1.0 before they blew up the world because it sucked so bad to make 2.0, you get it for cheaper. But still.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, like. Final Fantasy 14, you pay that much and you don't get anything like extra.
Yeah.
And that's just basically one character per world. So I can have multiple characters, but they can't. I don't know. Well, I don't know now. They've changed things, but in the past, like, you can only have one character per world.
Mm-hmm.
But for the Fallout 76 service, you get private servers. And, you know, listening to a podcast where, like, the main one of the hosts, like, constantly plays Fallout 76.
Yeah.
And he used to do a Final Fantasy 14 podcast, but quit because he was just so angry at it.
At the game?
I expect, at the game and just the content and the developers, just mm-hmm. everything. I was wondering how his reaction would be, and he was actually quite, like, not necessarily on Bethesda's side, but he understood, like, he was okay with it, mm-hmm. far more okay with it than I thought, because he was talking about, like, for private servers, like, a lot of games, like, you can have private servers, but one of two options are available to you. Either you pay a company to host the private server for you,
mm-hmm.
or you have to buy extra equipment to be able to host your own private server.
Yeah.
And so he's like, for $13 a month, you get the private server, you get a secondary point that you can, like, you set anywhere and teleport to it for free.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, instead of having one, like, home base, you can have two.
Yeah.
But then you also get $16 a month worth of atoms that can be used to buy in-game cosmetics.
Okay. That's not too bad.
It's like the stuff in Destiny with the, whatever it's called, the buy from that one store. Yeah. The silver, yes. It'd be like if you got, like, more money than you're paying in real-life money and silver back. So Reddit got pissed, and, like, people were like, well, we don't give a shit about the server. I mean, about the in-game money, the atoms.
Yeah.
We only want the private servers. And they're like, yeah, but, you know, again, somebody made a point years ago on Reddit. They're like, wait, if everybody on this in this subreddit is agreeing, then why is the world shitty? And someone broke it down. It's like, look, only this much of the world's population is – you know, even knows about Reddit. Yeah. And out of that population of people, only, like, this many people. And each time it was, like, less than 1%. Like, yeah. They know about this subreddit. And then so many of them are even less than that are active. And so mm-hmm. you're dealing with, like, you know, less than 1%. Like, less than 1/1000% of the world's population, like, that even is reading this post.
Yeah.
So I feel it's that way about the whole thing with, like, the anger over the subscription service. I think people will be mad about it, but I also think there's a group of people that expect to get everything for free. And unless
they do, Bethesda, I mean, how else are you supposed to maintain, like, private servers for a game?
Right, because it's not cheap, and I understand it's like, well, we paid full price for the game, and it's like, yeah, but you know, like Destiny, like they're not. You know, you have to pay for the expansions.
Yeah.
It's not free. So if you know, and granted, the same thing is with Final Fantasy 14, like once a year or once every other year, they come out with an expansion that we have to pay for. But then throughout the course of those 2 years, they have patches and updates
mm-hmm.
that I'm hoping is covering my, you know, $14 a month worth of subscribing.
Yeah, hopefully.
Oh, man. But then this is kind of an interesting story, Sean. A couple of weeks ago, Fortnite, people were playing and they got booted out as the world got sucked into a black hole. Like, there was no, like, notice, warning, or anything. Like with Final Fantasy 14, like, we know when the updates are coming. And same thing mm-hmm. with Destiny. And not only that, but, like, sometimes, like, maybe the day of or previous to, they come out with patch notes that have everything that's changing. So, like, people don't have to... Like, they lose that mystery of discovering what's new.
Yeah.
Because the developer tells them everything.
Yeah.
So, like, there's videos online of people losing their shit. Like, some dude, like, breaks his laptop because Fortnite's gone. And he wasn't a kid.
So, is this basically because they released Fortnite 2 and so they pulled the plug on Fortnite?
Yes. So wow. That they did that on Sunday. They basically had the world sucked into a black hole. And, like, if you went on to, like, their Twitch page, it was just the black hole. And then 2 days later, they released 2.0.
Wow.
And they didn't really come out. I don't know if they came out with any or minimal patch notes, but people were talking about how, like, you know, it's kind of cool. Like, it feels like the beginnings of Fortnite before they changed it too much. And they're kind of going around and figuring out what's changed and what's new on their own.
Jeez. I mean, I get that piece, but it's just crazy to think, like, nobody knew. And then, like, now they can't even play after buying all those cosmetics and stuff, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, it's back. I mean, you can play. True. It was gone. It was only down for 2 days, but it's just the amount of, like, I mean, you can tell, like, how ingrained in the culture it is by how people reacted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's Twitch streamers that basically that's their life playing Fortnite
Yeah.
They thought, they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I might have to, like, shoot myself in the face because I'm not going to be able to make any money.
Jeez.
Right. So, oh, I mean, they got the publicity they wanted. I mean, it worked. They got the publicity they wanted. They got people hyped when it did come back. People were like, holy shit, Fortnite's back. Mm-hmm. Like, virally, the word spread.
Let me go back and try to play it.
Right. That was genius. I think that's genius. Like, I don't know if any other companies necessarily have the balls or like the fan base to be able to pull something like that off. If people are just like, oh, Fortnite's dead, I guess I'm moving on to the next game.
No.
And if you're like, oh, Fortnite's back, and it's like, too late, man. It's been 2 days. I've already moved on.
Yeah.
Like, the worst. Out of respect for them doing this, it almost makes me want to, like, at least play Fortnite a little bit. But then I realized, no, I don't care that much.
No. In a world where your teammate is your enemy, Fortnite!
Isn't that pretty much every game that has team kill on?
Or I mean, I just meant like, you know, they steal all the weapons and then they go out and die and then they give all those weapons to the enemy team and you're just stuck there with the pistol going, why did I even try playing this game?
Right, so it's like playing Destiny with Gecko or Moose?
Yes. Moose!
Moose Johnson? what's the worst euphemism? Lobster Johnson or Moose Johnson? Oh, man.
Who knows?
Speaking of games that I don't care about, Sean, Destiny.
What a good segue.
I mean, it's true.
Oh, man. So, earlier this month, Destiny released Shadowkeep, the newest expansion pack to the universe, and with it was Season 8, The Undying, which is about the Vex. So we have we're back on the moon, and they kind of reskinned the moon from Destiny 1 and added a few areas to it as well. They added a game mode called Nightmare Hunt, where you actually have to go into levels and you get matched up with two buddies in the lower settings, and you go kill these nightmares. And so, like, these nightmares are previous enemies that you killed. So Crota's there, I don't know if I saw Oryx, but Omnigul's there, and a few others. And then, with the Undying, season, we have to go after Vex, because the Vex are rebuilding the Black Garden, and the raid actually there's a new Vex raid as well, which was pretty tough. It's a bit glitchy from what I played. I was a little underleveled, wasn't super happy that I got dragged in there, but it was a pretty fun raid. There's definitely unique encounters to it that weren't done before, which always makes it refreshing to do. But so far, it's I think a lot of people are a little upset about the story for Shadowkeep because it kind of ends. But it's hard to say how the story is going to continue as well, because we don't know if it's going to take place in the next season or if there's just more to come this season with Festival of the Lost and what else. They've already released a new exotic that came out this past week, which was a heavy ammo bow, which does like a lot of power damage. I haven't gotten it yet. I'm halfway through the quest. One of the other things that they've changed with Shadowkeep is that all the armor is now under armor 2.0. So you, instead of like trying to roll and get like a certain, getting like gloves with a certain roll, you need to purchase or discover mods, and those mods you could use for whatever abilities that you want on your armor. So now you can kind of custom build the armor that you want. So you get the gloves that you want because you think they look the best, and then you can assign whatever mods you want on them. So there's no more like, oh, I gotta wear these stupid gloves or this stupid helmet because it has the role I want.
Right. And that was one thing I was kind of disappointed when I played Destiny, because like in Final Fantasy 14, they have a system where it's called the glamour system. Where, like, you could be wearing, like, the best-in-slot equipment, but you could make it look like an outfit that you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for that 1 minute that you played Final Fantasy and gave up because you couldn't figure out how to emote. You're like, you suck at Destiny because you can't jump. And I'm like, you can't even wave in Final Fantasy. Like, but you were making fun of my character because I was wearing the schoolgirl outfit.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned about the story. You know, it's like this is like a case like Bethesda faced with Fallout 76, where when Fallout 76 was released, they're like, look, this game isn't complete yet. Like, you can play it, and it's probably going to be buggy, but we're working on it. Like, it's something new. Like, we're experimenting together as a team. Let's figure it out. So they came out with the new stuff right before the new patch, the expansion released for Destiny, and they were like, we're going to embrace the MMO part of our loot shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to have all the story come out right away. It's going to be released in increments throughout the expansion. So I don't know if it's, like you said, I don't know if it's the next season or when, but the story isn't done. According to them, they're just doing something new. And they said that.
Yeah, and it's a pretty big cliffhanger that you just don't I think that's, and I guess that's the part that's irritating, is like, it really gets to the climax of the story, and then it just ends, and it's just empty. So we'll have to see what happens later this season, or even in the next season, depending on when that is, probably early 2020.
Right, and that kind of shows, again, like we talked about, how gamers expect everything right away, or even like comic book fans, like, you know, when it came out that Captain America was going to be a Hydra agent, and everyone's like, that's it, I'm done reading Captain America, and they were sending like death threats to anybody and everybody associated with Captain America, including like Ed Brubaker, and he came out and he was like, dude, I haven't written for a Captain America comic in like 10 years, like, I have literally nothing to do with this. Like, calm your jets, bro. And then of course I'm like, you know, people are asking me about it, I'm like, a dream or like an alternate story, or he was mind controlled. And they combined like alternate story mind control, because basically like somehow like Steve Rogers was like the real one, was like his like memories or essence or whatever was like sent to like an alternate universe, and so he was left with a mindless shell that they were able to refill with fill with false memories that he was a Hydra agent the whole time.
Oh.
And then at the end somehow those merged and he was back to himself again.
Nice.
And it's like, fuck, you know, like Jeremy from the Courting was one of those that was like called bullshit on that. It's like, dude, you complain that nobody, like, the people don't want to like take risks and tell stories, new stories, because everything's the same and everything's like distilled and purified. But then when they try something new, you immediately complain without letting them finish the story.
Yep, that's how it always is.
Right, and you know, again, Bungie's the one that does it, right?
Yes.
Destiny.
Yeah, so Bungie, and that's the big thing to notice, is this is the first expansion pack that wasn't influenced from Activision either. So all these changes in this season have all been straight Bungie, no Activision. So there's nobody to blame now but Bungie.
Right, but my point was that they were very transparent and open about what they're doing. It wasn't like they waited for people to start complaining and then they're like, oh, no. We're taking care of it, kind of a thing, like backtracking, like making it seem like they're being defensive as opposed to on the forefront and being like clear and honest.
No, that's fair.
Like I go on Reddit, but I don't have an account, so I just get the general like front page stuff.
Oh, then you have to dive into your own subreddit by searching.
If I choose, but generally I find like stuff that I probably wouldn't have found. Like the Destiny subreddit. Somebody posted a thing about how the Destiny subreddit has devolved into people just bitching about the game.
Yeah, you definitely it feels like that often when stuff comes out, or there's a lot of like Bungie please stuff.
Right, and that's the thing. It's like either begging the developers for things or complaining about things. And I know like they've nerfed a couple things that people weren't happy about. I saw something about they nerfed a couple things, but then like another gun that has been like OP from like day zero. That they haven't touched. So, I don't know, man. But, like, you know, even as somebody who doesn't play Destiny, just the to hear, like, I get live vicariously through you playing Destiny about how they're telling the story sounds interesting. Because, again, it's supposed to be an MMO looter-shooter, but they've only ever really focused on the looter-shooter part versus the MMO part.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Right. Hopefully, like, people just get some patience and actually listen to what the developer's saying when they tell them.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us for another fantastic episode. Make sure that you're following us on Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, Podbean, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Make sure you're following us on Untappd. You can see all the different beers we're also drinking as we travel around and do our weekend adventures.
Oh, man, yes. Just give us 5-star reviews on whatever podcatcher you're listening to, because apparently that's supposed to help us, like, get to other people's attention. I don't know how or why, but it does.
Logic.
Algorithms.
Exactly. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Have fun.